Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning, it's week three of Chasing After God. As I said at the start of the first 2 weeks, if we want to see the power of God outworked in our lives and our community, we must keep training. We must keep desiring and aiming for more. And to do that, we must chase after God. Chase after God with a renewed vigor and a renewed enthusiasm. And I just have a real sense this year that we're going to see some ground taken in ways that we haven't seen before. You know, there's a film that says, build it and they will come. Well, we have a mammoth property and we have an amazing set of facilities that God has allowed us to have. He's provided for us and it's time we filled them. I know Oxley Kids is full. I know the school can be filled and is being filled. And I know this church can be filled. But we don't have to do that. It's God that does it. He says he will build his church. It's just up to us to make certain that we continue to seek him and obey him. We saw two people get saved last Sunday morning after church. I think we've had three people in youth already saved. And I know Pete has had children down in Oxley, down at the children's church saved. Matt, where are you? How are you going at school? Any people got saved there yet? Come on, Matt, make up a few. Half a class at the end of last year. Isn't that fantastic? So let's keep pushing. Let's keep praying. Let's keep desiring to see God move. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have a race that's been marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, Psalm 32, 8 says, I will guide thee with mine eye. We have to be looking into the face of God to be able to be guided by his eye. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Single focus. One place. Then in Matthew 6, 33, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things. That's all the things before Matthew 6:33 will be added unto you. So we have an incredible mandate to put God first, to make God first, to get our eyes on him. And you know, we live in a world that would have us to put our eyes on everything else but him. And you know, you only have to watch the news, listen to the news, listen to people talk. And there's so much stuff out there that would try and take our focus. But on the same token, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can sing that song that we sang, all is well with my soul. On week one, we looked at what we need to do to prepare ourselves to come into the presence of our King. And part of that is there in Hebrews 12. Drop off everything that hinders, everything that we're entangled with. And then last week we talked about dying to self, taking self off the throne and putting God on the throne in every aspect of our lives. And that is an ongoing, never-ending, continual thing that we must do, dying to self. And I know it's hard because self is there wanting to be fed. But the more we die to self, the more Christ is to gain in our lives. So as we chase after God, I think two words come into play. The words imitate and the words inquire. And so that's chasing after God number three. Imitating and inquiring of God. If you think about it, imitating someone or something is a natural thing to do. Our dogs at home are known as the siren dogs because every time there's an emergency service vehicle on the highway, and the siren starts to blast, our dogs get up on the balcony and they lift their head and they do what dogs do. And they have the high pitch and the low pitch. Believe it or not, the female is the low pitch and the male is the high pitch. And as they start to do the siren, all the dogs in our neighborhood start to do the siren. And so they imitate, our dogs imitate a siren, and then the other dogs imitate our dogs. And you should look at the dogs each as they're doing it. They're looking at each other saying, are we going good? Does it sound good? Should we do it louder? And then all of a sudden one stops. And the other one does a little and then stops and goes on. You know, imitating is something that we do. As kids, my brothers and I imitated things. Even though I'm not a footballer, wasn't a footballer, can't stand football, I still had my Melbourne Football Club jumper with number 31. Now, come on, let's just see how many people are that old. Number 31? There you go. Who said that? Dave, you're not that old. You are that old. Dave. Thank you, Bob. We had it over here already. Can you guys move over this side of the church, please? Number 31 on my back. You know, you see kids, they have to have their favourite sportsman on their back. They wear, Terry, they wear their superhero outfit. They're imitating something. You know, as I work around the house, I find myself imitating my father. My father, when we were screwing up screws, you know, in the olden days, screws only had one slot. You had to make certain that the slot was either vertical or horizontal, depending on the longest bit of timber. And even now with a Phillips head screw, I'm wondering how I get the slot just right. And so I have always Phillips head screws, vertical and horizontal, just so it looks right. And I'm thinking of my dad. Son, make certain you get that screw slot up and down or across. Do it right. You know, when I'm painting, now, when I started painting with my dad, we didn't have things called rollers. Modern things, Chris, no good. They'll never catch on. You know that, don't you? Anyhow, we used to paint our house with a brush. And my dad used to teach us how to paint. And one of the most important things was you had to feather out the corner before you moved on so that when you caught up to it, the next bit matched in and you didn't have lines. How many people get lines in their rollers? Chris Blacker, just stand up. He's Mr. Paint down at Bunnings. He'll help you, okay? There is an art to do that. You know, one day when we were living in the manse at 331 Maroondo Highway, Pastor Oxy's office looked out onto our front yard or backyard or whatever it was called, and he was forever ringing me, Graham, what is it, Pastor Hal? The dogs, the kids are drinking out of the dog bowl. Are they letting the dogs drink, Hal? Yes, that's okay then, let them go. Well, one day he called me into his office. I thought I was into trouble, but I wasn't, thank goodness. And I looked out the window and there were my three kids, Al, Narelle and Pete, and they were playing church. Al was praying for Narelle and Pete was the catcher. Now, Pete was the youngest, and when Narelle fell, as you always do in church, because our kids were imitating what happens in church, you can see Pete. But Alan's prayer raised them both up, and it was all good. As we look at the life of Jesus, he was no different. He imitated his father. The Bible tells us he inquired after him for everything. Jesus said of himself, I can do nothing on my own initiative or authority. Just as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, fair, righteous, and unbiased. Because I do not seek my own will, but only the will of him who sent me. And then in John 12:50, he says again of himself, I know that his commandment is eternal life. So the things I speak in accordance with his exact instructions, just as the Father has told me. Pastor Oxy gave us a thumb rule right back in Bible college in 1975, and I know he uses that thumb rule. I know he continues to speak about that thumb rule. If you need advice, go to somebody who has success in that area that you need help in. You know, you don't go and get a painter whose house has got flaking paint on it. You don't go to a mechanic whose car is forever broken. You don't go to a fish and chip shop that's got oil running down the window. You don't go to a financial advisor who's been bankrupt many times. You don't go for marriage counselling to someone who's been divorced often. So that same advice is even more appropriate when it comes to the things of God. We need to ask ourselves, what does the Bible say? What is the thumb rule? Go to somebody who knows. Well, what does the Bible say on the subject of imitating and inquiring? In Deuteronomy 18:9, it says, when you enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable, repulsive practices of those nations. That's why Scripture says, come out from among them. Or you are of the world, as you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You know, if we allow ourselves to hang around things, people that are detestable, then ultimately that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to carry, we're going to attract, we're going to take on those things that we hang around with. We need to understand that the more time we spend with someone or something, is the more we become like them. So on the positive, if we hang around people that are really a great influence on us, that have fruit in their lives, then that's what we're going to become. But then if we allow ourselves to hang around in the world, and those things that the Bible says are detestable or repulsive, then ultimately that's what hangs on to us. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 16, and I've got lots of scriptures today because I want the Word of God to speak to you, because so often we don't understand, we don't hear the word intimate, we don't hear the word imitate, we don't hear the word inquire, because it's not a subject that's often spoken about, because everybody believes that everybody knows what that's what you should do. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 16 says, I'm not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you only have one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So I urge you, imitate me just as a child imitates his father. And then in Hebrews 6:12 it says, we do not want you to become lazy. Instead, imitate the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and because of their endurance. You know, and again, I bring up Pastor Hal and Jill. Aren't we so blessed to have the father and the mother of this church still with us? So long, 59 years it's been going. So long, and they're still here. Why are they here? Because of their faith? Because of their endurance? What does the Bible say? It says imitate them. You know, I just quoted one of Pastor Hal's thumb rules. What am I doing? I'm imitating something that I heard. Why? Because it's good. But also I've seen it outwork. And I've seen the result of how it outworks. So again, find those who have got what you're looking for operating in their lives. Imitate them. Learn how they have become what they are. Of course, people are going to let you down. Man will always let you down. Don't put them on an altar. Don't make them like God. The Word of God is what we should be living by. But on the same token, you shall know them by their fruit. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, of course, we could go and we could look through those that have influenced us, those that have had impact in our lives, and unfortunately you will find people that have let you down. You will find people that have not followed and walked in the ways of God. Don't let that rob you from trusting in God. Just learn that you need to seek God to see whom you're going to imitate. In 3 John 1:11 it says, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, but anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. You know, unfortunately, the media would like to attack the church, attack the leadership of the church because of those things that we know that have happened in churches and every other organization, believe it or not. They're not from God. The actions are not from God. But that doesn't stop us from finding those people, those things that are good, because they are from God. So the first challenge is to be imitators of people, imitators of the things which lead us to God. Imitate people whose hearts are towards God, people who are not offending on purpose. However, though this carries with its own challenge, a challenge that we must think of now, a challenge to ourselves, really. Because believe it or not, every one of us are role models. Every one of us have people looking at us. Some more than others, of course, but every one of us do. We are role models to somebody. And so, have a think what fruit you would produce in somebody else if they were copying your life. It's a pretty strong challenge, that one, isn't it? Bible tells us that if we cause someone to stumble, it'd be worse than having a millstone hung around our neck. You know, that's probably the most sobering scripture for me in leadership. That if my life and my actions cause somebody to stumble and fall away from God because of the things that I've done, that God is going to hold me accountable for that. But then I think that's for all of us. That we seek God. And so now we come to inquiring of God. John 12:50 says, I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. How did Jesus know what the Father was telling him? Only one way, speaking to him, inquiring of him, seeking his face, spending time with him, watching his eyeballs. There's so many examples in the Word of God, and we could spend a long time on this, but we won't, because I think you know what we're saying. The first one that always stands out to me is when Joshua led the children of Israel into the Promised Land. And they obviously fought Jericho. They had that little hiccup at Ai, but came back inquired of God at Gilgal, and God showed Joshua that, you know, Achan and his family had taken of the accursed thing. He dealt with that, then they went through and defeated Ai, and then it goes on to say that the Gibeonites realized what God was doing and made a ruse to be able to not be wiped out by Gideon, the Israeli army. In Joshua 9:3-8, it says, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily. And that's a very clear word there, craftily. There was a deception there. They went and pretended to be ambassadors. They took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves. There was an intentional ruse. There was an intentional outworking of deceit here. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. They went, Joshua, to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country, now therefore make a covenant with us. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us so that we can make a covenant of you. Notice it was not Joshua who said it first, it was the men of Israel. People who hadn't learnt to inquire of God, to seek God's face. But they said to Joshua, knowing that he was the leader, we are your servants. And Joshua started to inquire. Joshua started to try and prove where they were from. Who are you? Where do you come from? But then we see this little pertinent point. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not inquire of God. The story goes on that through that yarn of deception, through the fooling of Joshua and the children of Israel, that they became a thorn in their side for the rest of their time. Because Joshua and the children did make a covenant. They made a promise under God. They had to stand. What did they do wrong? They trusted in their senses. They allowed their emotions, they allowed their eyesight to tell them what they wanted to hear instead of inquiring of God. And unfortunately, that's what happens. That's why the church is in such a mess today. That's why we're seeing liberal churches everywhere. Because people are allowing their senses, they're allowing their emotions to rule and to reign, rather than inquiring of God, rather than having the courage to obey and to do what God says. Then we come to Saul, King Saul. King Saul lost his kingship because rather than inquiring of God, he inquired of a familiar spirit. In 1 Chronicles 10, it says, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. So instead of going to God and inquiring, he went to a medium. Why? Because he knew that what God would say. And so often, that's where we fall short. We know what God's word says. We know what God wants of us. And so we don't ask, we don't inquire, just in case we get the answer we don't want to hear. On the other hand, the Bible tells us about David that he inquired at every stage. In 1 Chronicles 14, 8 to 17, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search of David. David heard of it and went up against them. David inquired of God. This is what he said to God. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? The Lord replied. The Lord said, go up and I will give them into your hand. So he went. And David defeated them there. And then the Bible says, once again, the Philistines made a raid in the valley. Now, let's stop there. What would you do? If you had fought an army, defeated the army, had a battle, had something happen in your life, would you think when they came back, well, I did it this time, this is what I do next? That's what the natural mind would do, because that's how we reason. It worked the first time, let's try it again. It might work again, but not this time. When David again inquired of God, see, David, the Bible tells us, was a man after God's own heart. He knew and had a relationship with God. Remember in Psalm 139, search me and see if there be any wicked way. You don't tell somebody to search you to see if you have any wicked ways in you, knowing that you would find something, unless you had a relationship of security in that person. So David, having built that relationship with God, knew what to do. Hang on, before I start attacking the Philistines again, I better just check out with God and see what he wants me to do. And so when David again inquired of God, God said to him, you shall not go up. Ah, interesting. Go around and come on them on the opposite side. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, then go out into battle, for God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David, this is important, David did as God had commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army, and the fame of David went out to all the lands, and the Lord brought fear of him on all nations. There's an important lesson for us in this little passage. Don't assume the instructions are the same for similar circumstances. And secondly, don't do what other people do. Even though we are to be imitators, we are also to be inquirers of God, and we are to seek God for ourselves. You see, the instructions for some might be different for you, because their life is their life and your life is your life. And unfortunately, I see too many people just tacking on with what others have done rather than going to the word themselves and having their own experience. So as I draw to an end, let me just give you a few scriptures to feast on. Scriptures that I find incredible in regard to seeking God. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. 2 Chronicles 14, 7, because we have sought the Lord, He has given us rest on every side. 2 Chronicles 26:5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Psalm 34, verse 10. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those that seek the Lord lack no good thing. Then Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness upon you. I hope you're hearing the call of God as we chase after him. I hope you're recognizing that he wants us not only to prepare to come into his presence, to die to self, but he wants us to be imitators and inquirers of him. You know, we hear so many words. We get so much advice. But as we chase after God, let's do it for ourselves. Let's determine that we be imitators and inquirers of God. You know, the wonderful thing about living in the age that we live, that God knew what we needed, and Jesus said that he was going to send somebody to help us do it. We have the Holy Spirit living within us to help us to walk the walk that he wants us to do. And for me, and I know for many, it's the peace of God that I use to lead and to guide me. I find that nothing can counterfeit the peace of God because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. These scriptures, Colossians 3:15, Isaiah 26:3, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God umpire in your heart. You know, you can test what you're hearing. If you lose your peace, you know it's not from God. Or if it is from God and you've lost your peace, it might be the timing's wrong. Another sermon, another time. How do you get peace? Easy. I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. As we determine to keep our minds on God, to do what God wants us to do, to drop off those things and things that we entangle ourselves with, then we will have peace. And then it comes back to just one thing, the choices we make. Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 20. I said it last week and I'll probably say it again in weeks to come. Set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Read the scripture. It's an incredible scripture, but it ends up with this. Choose life that you and your children may live. The way of choosing life is to obey his word. How do you find out his word? Read it and inquire of God. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would overshadow this word today, that you would, Lord God, protect it, that it would not return to you void. Lord, as I say constantly at the moment, you look at the heart of man. It's out of the heart are the issues of life. And that, Lord, all of us are at different stages, different phases in our walk with you. You know that. You understand that. Lord, you're not expecting perfection because you know our frame, but you are asking that our hearts be towards you. And so, Lord, as we are all on this journey at different stages, but all together, going in the same direction, I pray that we will be those that chase after you, that we'll continue to make certain that we're prepared to come into your kingdom. Lord God, into your presence, I'm sorry. That Lord God, that we would continue to die to self. But Lord, today that you would help us to determine to imitate you, or imitate those that you put in our lives to mentor us. And that, Lord, for ourselves, that we would passionately learn to be inquirers of you, to allow your word to guide us, to hear that small, still voice, to keep our eyes on you that you might guide us. And, Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives within us, that we might have that peace to rule and to be an umpire for our lives. Lord, have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.